I'm Iantha from Hong Kong, and you're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge from KFUO Radio.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
It's a How to Lutheran episode today. These are fun. We get to dig into something like Lutheran culture-y.
Yeah.
And Rachel, what are we doing Lutheran culture-y today?
So to tell you what we're doing Lutheran culture-y day, celebrating some little aspect of Lutheran culture that might actually go unnoticed by most people. I'm going to share a little story. Every week, usually on Sunday afternoons, I am the recipient, the blessed recipient of emails from various members of my father's family who have been sending weekly Sunday afternoon emails for decades now.
Wow.
I know, because I've been on them.
Tradition.
I know. Well, it started back in the, what this episode is about, but I've been dying to share this for a long time. Started back in the 1940s, I believe, when my great-grandfather, okay. Pastor Mossel, would type letters on carbon paper to send to his sons who were out and about.
What?
You know. Anyway, so when email was invented, the family restarted this, and a lot of the folks in my dad's generation or the generation before still do this. So I enjoy these emails. I rarely send one of my own, for which I feel very, very guilty, but I love them. And I always get one from my great aunt Miriam, who is a widowed pastor's wife. I guess it'd be a pastor's widow. Anyway, wonderful woman who has written several emails recently that mention knotting quilts with women from her church.
Okay.
And it hit me. We've never talked about quilts on this podcast.
No, we haven't.
That's and like, so we need to do this.
Okay.
All right.
We are going to talk about quilting circles in Lutheran churches today. But first, we've got some bigger questions to ask and to answer. First, what is a quilt? What role does quilting play in American social history? Because it does. What do quilts have to do with Lutheran churches anyway?
I wondered that.
And how can I get into this whole quilting thing?
Okay.
All right, I added that last one. First, what is a quilt? Well, everybody should know what a quilt is, but there is some confusion out there. It is a multi-layered textile, this is according to Wikipedia, composed of two or more layers of fabric. Mm-hmm. Commonly, you've got a pretty side, you've got a back side, and then you've got a filler in the middle. Mm-hmm. It's like an Oreo blanket.
Okay. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Aaron's like, yeah, we've all known this for years and years and years.
Maybe not everyone knows. You gotta establish your definitions.
Define terms.
So you get these three layers and you combine them. There are multiple methods of doing this, most commonly quilting. Where you sew everything together, often using intricate seams, or, as my great-aunt was doing, knotting them, where you tie them together with knots.
Mm-hmm.
So quilting, of course, plays a huge role in American social history. And I'm just going to paraphrase a bunch of Wikipedia stuff here, because that's about as deep as we can afford to go in this episode. But back in the colonial times, one of the things that got embargoed was fabric, because Britain was a huge purveyor of textile goods. And so women were all about reusing, recycling, upcycling their old fabrics into something usable. And so quilts became this sort of like hallmark of American life, where you join small pieces of old fabric scraps together to make blocks, and then, you know, sew those all together and then put them together with other older blankets maybe might be used as either filler or backing for these.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because a lot of the American colonies were colder than a lot of European places. They had greater need for blankets. And so quilts are just a classic part of Americana that you'll see them in museums because so many of them are so intricate and beautiful.
Yeah.
There were traditions regarding what was the proper number of quilts that a young woman should have ready before she got married.
Oh.
Yeah. It was part of your hope chest. Mm-hmm. You'd have a certain number of quilts ready to go so you could establish a home and make sure all the beds were warm. Mm-hmm. So,
I love it.
Yes. America is like just a quilting capital of the world.
Mm. Yeah.
And we developed the quilting bee.
Okay.
A social gathering which brings women together to finish quilts. And we are all about these women-only spaces in the lounge. This was traditionally a woman's only space, and it was a great social opportunity. Usually women would piece the quilts, that is to say, put together sew all the blocks together ahead of time, so you would just have two big pieces ready to quilt together. But the work goes a lot faster. I have quilted by hand, only baby quilts, a quilt by myself, and it takes you a while. Mm-hmm. I have often wished, wouldn't it be nice if I could put this all out over, spread it all out over a dining room and have like five or six people going on it at once. And that was sort of what it was. It was about sharing the work, but also sharing the gossip, because women's lives could be fairly lonely in early America, and the opportunity to get together and have for a good cause. We're doing work. We're not being lazy. And fair also enough. Catch up on all the community news and happenings was a really joyful thing. I love that other historic terms for a quilting bee include quilting party, quilting match, quilting feast, and my favorite, quilting frolic.
I love it.
Okay.
So women getting together to sew is a classic American pastime. I'm thinking here of my grandma Lois's sewing club. She started when she was newly married. And this was not a church thing. This was a social thing. They would get together and everybody would bring their mending. Mm. And they did this because they wanted to have social time, but they didn't want to waste that time. Mm-hmm. They wanted it to be productive at the same time. So grandma said, I used to ask her, what did you sew? She goes, I don't remember. I would maybe darn socks or something, which was amazing to me because I don't think I'd ever heard anyone actually admit to darning socks before. Generally now, if one of my socks gets a hole in it, it goes in the trash.
Right. Mm. Right.
It was a different era.
Yeah.
But 50 years later, she and her sewing club friends were still getting together for lunch at least once a month. And it was the closest thing she ever had to a sorority.
Mm.
So definitely some real social possibilities with sewing. But what does this have to do with church? Well, I mean, we love fellowship, but there is actually a scriptural basis for a sewing circle or a quilting circle. And I love this story in Acts chapter 9, which I will read from the ESV. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days she became ill and died, and when they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter rose and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up. Then calling all the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Did you catch it?
Yeah. Dorcas made stuff for people to wear.
She was a maker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in her life, sewing things for other people, and presumably probably also spinning and weaving, were her good works. They were synonymous for the church community she was in. Dorcas was a saint who served the church. Well, how did she serve? Here, let me show you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that they're like weeping and mourning her death and also like commiserating over the things that she made for each other. Like,
yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. So this idea of using your needle to serve your neighbor in the context of a church community, it goes all the way back to the book of Acts. And not only that, but as we discussed in our Altar Guild episode, link in the show notes, women have long been associated with the work of creating and caring for soft goods in the church.
Yeah. Mm.
Sewing, though, as a way to provide for the physical needs of struggling neighbors has also been an expression of female piety pretty much forever.
Mm-hmm.
And as for how quilts made it into the Lutheran church, well, that connection can be made with three little letters, L-W-R.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you do a Google search for Lutheran quilts, the first result is lwr.org/quilts.
Huh.
Which takes you to a page where you volunteer to quilt for Lutheran World Relief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes. They say on their website, often when natural disasters strike or war drives families from their homes, our hearts ache with compassion, but we don't know how to help. If you've wondered how to volunteer to quilt for charity, look no further. Goes on to say, quilts can be used as warm bedding, simple tents, or floor coverings. Each one reflects God's loving presence in a world rife with suffering. So Lutheran World Relief, of course, is a pan-Lutheran organization that has done a lot throughout the last almost century to provide for people's physical needs. But quilts are one of their hallmark gifts that they make available.
Mm-hmm.
Wikipedia says of them that one of their flagship programs started in 1945 and continuing today is its Quilt and Kit Ministry. So Lutheran World Relief was officially founded in 1945 when Lutherans in the United States wanted to respond to post-World War Europe's refugee crisis by sending food, clothing, and quilts.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Of course. So remember, many German and Scandinavian Lutherans in the 1940s were only a generation or two removed, if that, from their European roots. And so the suffering experienced by Europe in the post-war years hit them hard.
Yeah.
They were heard the news stories, they saw the newsreels, and they're like, these are our brothers and sisters, we need to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Lutheran World Relief offered a way to harness this American impulse to quilt in community and coupled it with the Christian desire to serve our neighbor and the immigrant yearning to help war refugees in the fatherland, it was just this win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
It took off. And around the country, quilting groups and sewing circles rose to the challenge set by them. Many of them, I love some of the names that have been assigned to Lutheran quilting groups over the years, but many of them named for Dorcas or Martha or other New Testament saints.
Yeah.
And there are many churches that have been sending quilts to LWR ever since.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I should say this is not without some of its issues in our day and age. For one thing, I just want to point out the distinct irony that Garrison Keillor once pointed out in one of his episodes about sending quilts, warm, insulated quilts, to people in tropical third world countries.
Yeah.
Who may or may not know what to do with that. I tried so hard to find this quote from Garrison Keillor online, but I cannot. It is apparently not among the top 25 or 63 or like even 1,000 most quotable things he said over his decades of speaking and writing. So it's probably just like this throwaway line in a Lake Mohegan monologue.
Yeah.
But it got stuck in my brain.
Right,
and it's been there for at least half my life. And I know he said it.
Yep.
Sounds like something you'd say.
I will also, and I should say that Lutheran World Relief nowadays can be a little problematic for some LCMS Lutherans to work with because of their intentional lack of clarity on doctrinal issues and their close association with the ELCA.
Mm-hmm.
For us in the LCMS, mercy work is tied to the sharing of the gospel.
Yep.
And yet Lutheran World Relief is on the record publicly opposed to incorporating evangelism as any part of their work.
Mm.
And you see this in their vision statement, which is a healthy world forever flourishing in dignity and justice, which is a worthy goal, but that doesn't really communicate everything we hope will come out of these charitable interactions. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
And their value words, which are disruptive, interconnected, agile, and inclusive, also present a little bit of a problem for more confessional Lutherans and can be hard to sort of mesh with that worldview. But there's no question at all that this organization has done much to relieve physical suffering around the world since 1945. So you know, for many people, not a problem. For others, I don't know.
Yeah.
I should also point out that, and this was, I learned this from Aunt Miriam, that Orphan Grain Train also collects quilts.
Oh.
And they send the, some of them to orphanages in countries that actually have freezing temperatures.
Hmm.
So take that, Garrison Keillor. They don't all go to Africa. And their mission statement is, though they are still, you know, distinct from the LCMS in some ways, but their mission statement is much more gospel-focused.
Mm-hmm.
They say, in loving response to Christ the servant, the Orphan Grain Train movement encourages and enables God's people to share personal and material resources in bringing Christ's name and character to needy people, both far and near. So those are two organizations that do request and distribute donated quilts.
Mm-hmm.
However, there may actually, and I really hate to rain on this beautiful quilty parade, there may be a few ethical problems associated with sending quilts overseas at all.
Mm.
And if you remember one of our early book club picks, Adam Minter's Secondhand Travels and the New Global Garage Sale, again, link in show notes, the fact that there is an ethical dilemma here won't come as any surprise to you. And now, quilts are not quite a brand new handmade quilt is not necessarily in the same category as, you know, the secondhand clothes you cleaned out of your closet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in the other, in another sense, it could be. And I'll quote here Rwanda President Paul Kagame in 2018. He said, quoted in the BBC, saying, "We are put in a situation where we have to choose. You choose to be a recipient of used clothes or choose to grow our textile industries."
Mm.
And so, you know, there is the question of if I'm sending a quilt. Now, if it's an emergency situation, that's different. But sure. If I'm sending a quilt, is there a chance that my free quilt is going to undercut a local artisan who might otherwise be making a similar product?
Yeah.
So it's a thorny issue. I don't think it's serious enough that it should make anybody stop quilting for the Lord. But it is something to think about. How can our gifts be given in such a way that they don't cause harm to anyone? Because whenever we face a dilemma like this, the question inevitably arises, are we sending quilts to our poorer neighbors because they need them and have asked for them? Or because we just really like quilting together and need something useful to do with the finished product?
Mm.
And the answer could be yes to both questions, but it is one that I think we need to ask. And I guess I should turn the microphone over here to Aaron for a minute as someone working in international missions about whether you have thoughts on this
I mean,
unexpected ethical dilemma with regards to quilting circles.
It is a challenge, and people do, they have generous hearts and they want to be able to give. They're moved to offer from what they have and want to do that. But the challenge is that it isn't always actually helpful, and in some cases can have some negative consequences. And so, I mean, with this sort of thing, if there's a big emergency, and so they're trying to gather a shipment to be able to send because of the big natural disaster that happened or something like that, that's one thing. But I mean, I often would be inclined to say that for trying to share stuff, maybe look a little closer to home as far as where you could share, you know, maybe you have a neighbor that could actually use a beautiful handmade quilt as opposed to, you know, sending it somewhere else.
Yeah. And I'll have some ideas at the end of the episode for, you know, sort of unusual ways to use quilts as an outreach gift of the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I think there are ways to do that, because I love this idea of getting together with women in the body of Christ and sitting and sharing about your lives while you stitch on a quilt that is going to be a great blessing to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because they are. The quilts that I own are treasures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love them so much. So, yes, regardless of any ethical dilemmas there, quilts are still made and sent and appreciated though admittedly in smaller numbers than in their heyday. Yeah. The reason I'm not part of a church quilting group is because I don't think my church has a quilting group.
Yeah.
And many churches do not anymore. And yeah. and those that are often in decline because of simple biology. Mm-hmm. Many of their longtime members are simply aging out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's also because of simple sociology, because quilting is definitely a pastime that is often well-suited to the Susie Homemaker type. And there just aren't as many as those of those as there once were. Now, Aaron, I know you do a ton of sewing for someone who works in an office full time.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of break the mold there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also single.
That's true.
So, yeah.
But I think that sort of desperate housewife kind of stereotype of this industrious woman who would just love to get out of the house every once in a while, hang with your besties, and use domestic skills to make the world a better place. Like, that is a type of person we don't see as much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as a result, fewer younger women today were raised quilting. I was, but that was because of family, not church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And for a full-time working mother, as I once was, joining a quilting circle would feel completely out of reach, even leaving aside the fact that it would also feel completely out of place to be the youngest member of the group by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So quilting circles are, you know, they're flagging a little bit. That doesn't mean they can't come back, though.
Mm-hmm.
But it is true that things have changed since 1945 and when LWR very energetically started collecting quilts.
Yeah.
Now, to get a historical viewpoint on exactly how it's changed, I reached out to the source herself, my Aunt Miriam.
Ah.
That's Miriam Mazel Newman, a name that some of our LWML listeners may recognize since she's published numerous Bible studies with LWML over the years.
Oh.
She's an amazing lady.
Sounds famous.
I sent her a few questions, which she kindly answered for me, and I will sort of edit as I go, getting through some of the highlights of her responses, because I really appreciated her taking the time to just sort of let me pick her brain a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her first, how and when did you learn to sew? And she says, I started sewing at age 10 when I joined 4-H. I hand hemmed a tea towel and sewed a pot holder.
Love
okay.
it.
I learned to sew on a treadle machine. None of this electric stuff.
Yes.
Uh-huh. I made a pair of pajamas 1 year. We had to use flat felled seams. My mother had never used those either, and we ended up with them inside out. No blue ribbon that year.
Oh, no.
Which is, it seems so different from the way that I grew up, but it's neat to realize that that was very normal.
Mm-hmm.
Those 4-H kids, man, they can do all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my goodness. So well equipped.
Yeah.
I asked her, what's your earliest memory of sewing at church? And she said, I never sewed at church until later in life. When I was growing up, women hosted the quilting party in their home when they made quilts for others. They charged by the number of spools of thread they used.
Huh.
Which is really interesting. I feel like there's another story behind that.
Yeah.
But it shows that it was sort of a ubiquitous thing. It's just women hosted a quilting party.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone chipped in to buy the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The quilts were made for others.
Hmm. That's cool.
How many quilting groups have you been part of in your life? Several churches made quilts and I would help once in a while, but never really belonged to a group. Although I might argue that if there's a group making a quilt and you show up to help, that you might consider that to be part of a group. But yes, I suppose never a formal member. So I asked her, how have ladies' quilting circles changed over the years? And this was really fascinating to me. She says, I've not really heard of quilting clubs like they used to have. Years ago, most quilters made the fancy kinds, where each square had a pretty pattern of small pieces of fabric stitched to it. Then tiny stitches were made to hold the decorative piece to the batting and plain fabric backing. What we do today, I suppose what she's referring to in her quilting group, we used to call comforters. We simply put stitches evenly spaced with enough thread to tie and knot each stitch. This, again, is to keep the batting and fabric in place.
Oh.
So I think what we're seeing here is not only are there fewer quilting clubs, but that the quilting projects are much less involved than they used to be. more of a simply, we want to make this gift, and less of really dedicating yourself to the intricate artistry that can be involved in.
Yeah.
And that could be a time thing. It could be an aging thing that change has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like in an age of Etsy and Instagram that this intricate work is becoming popular again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
Analog hobbies. The grandma hobbies are coming back.
Mm.
Yeah. I asked her what they did with the quilts when they're finished, and she says Lutheran World Relief, but Orphan Grain Train and some other groups also accept them. Then I asked her, what blessings does quilting together hold for women in the church and for you personally? She says, we enjoy good fellowship. I think that's key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also the satisfaction that someone in distress will put these quilts, in parentheses, comforters, to good use.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's her sewing quilting stories. She says that her current group, all the fabric is donated, and they do buy the batting and the sheets often with Thrivent funds. So there's just all sorts of like pan-Lutheran cosmos players involved in these quilts.
Yep.
So yeah, that's Aunt Miriam's story. And if you're listening, Aunt Miriam, thank you so much for answering my email and sharing your experience with us, because I think that adds something very special to this, this treatment. It's more personal now.
Right. Thanks, Aunt Miriam.
So there is something about quilting that is really special. It's this shared creative outlet that brings women together for fellowship and service. And I've only done quilting with my daughters, with my aunts, but the idea of doing it with church sisters is really, really appealing to me. And so I hope it lasts long enough as a cultural artifact for me to have enough free time to do it.
Start your own group.
Yeah, along with all the other groups I'm starting, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, but question for you guys. Aaron, Sarah, do you guys quilt? Have you ever quilted for church? Would you if you had the opportunity?
So, you know, with all the sewing I've done, I haven't ever done quilting.
Really? And that surprises me so hard.
Yeah. I've always stayed in the garment side of the hobby, of the craft. And so I always figure I've periodically thought about it, and I'm like, no, I'm not drawn to that. But it's always been sort of like a yet. I figure at some point I'll be like, I want a new challenge. I want to learn a new, because it's not the same. Like there's definitely distinct aspects of quilting that are different, and it's its own specialty. So at some point I know I'm gonna end up being like, ah, the time has come. I'm going to dive into this aspect of the hobby, of the art, of the craft. But I haven't yet.
That is so interesting. I assumed that you would, because you're so gifted in this area. But I guess you're right. It's like the difference between piano and organ. Just because you play one doesn't mean you play the other.
Right.
And like, I've made, I won't say a ton of quilts, but I've made either made or been part of making at least half a dozen. Uh-huh. And I've made exactly one dress in my life.
Yeah. There you go.
And exactly. It didn't turn out real great.
Uh-huh. So. Or like knitting and crocheting.
Not the same.
I don't crochet.
I crochet. And I don't knit.
Yeah. Same. Crochet. Don't knit.
I tried it.
So anyway, yeah, I'm sure that at some point I will come to it.
Mm-hmm.
But my church doesn't have an existing group. So if I were going to try and do this as a group activity, I would need to either find it or generate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
But you would, if someone started a group at your church, would you like check it out?
I mean, I'm sure I would check it out. And that might end up being, you know, what would spur me to be like, okay, now's the time. So, yeah.
I also have never quilted in my life. I also don't make my own clothes. I don't sew that much anymore. I used to make like doll clothes when I was a kid by hand, because it was really fun to like sew. I used to sew random scraps of fabric together, but for doll clothes, not for quilts.
That's adorable, Sarah. Uh-huh. Just go say it.
I'm pretty sure.
On brand.
We had a lot of stuffed. I'm the youngest. We had a lot of stuffed animals. Oh, you know what? The cow that's in my Misfit Zoo. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I've ever mentioned this on this podcast. So it's going to sound really, really weird. I have a zoo of Misfit animals that I have gotten for free that sit on the window at my desk in this office building. Mm-hmm. And the cow, I'm pretty sure I made the outfit for that out of some leftover fleece. I made a blanket. I make tie blankets, but that's not quilting. But I do like making tie blankets. I made the blanket, so I had a bunch of extra. So I hand sewed a little outfit for the cow at my desk. So like I hand sew random things. So my mother-in-law quilts with her group at her church in Arkansas.
Really?
Yes. Okay. And my childhood best friend, who I've known for like basically my entire life, her mom quilts. And she has several of those quilts and they're beautiful. Like she also sewed my bridesmaids' dresses for my wedding. She sewed my husband's vest for our wedding. So like she's sewn a lot of stuff. She's very good. My church does not. I don't even think my church growing up had a quilting group. Slightly surprising because we were into a lot of stuff. Mm. My mom isn't into it. My current church does not have one. However, considering the type of sewing that I really like to hand sew, machines are great and I admire people who can use them well. It's just not my jam. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to sew something, I'm going to do it the hard way by hand. It's just way more fun for me. I don't know. So like the whole hand sewing, I don't know if there's a lot of hand sewing in quilts. I probably would actually enjoy that
there,
a lot.
There is. I mean, you can. Together
and like making patterns, I think I'd really enjoy it. Right. So it may be a thing for some time in my life. I might be the one to generate a group at some point.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it would be fun. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It sounds fun.
You can machine sew quilts. A lot of people do. They're a little more sturdy. They run through the wash better and they're a lot faster to come together.
Mm. Yeah.
I like to hand sew them. And it, you know, if it takes me a full year to make a baby quilt, that's fine. I made one for my niece, Vivian, last year. And not only did I get all my daughters and my entire American Heritage Girls unit to each sew a little bit on it, but I made a practice of whenever I was working on the quilt, I said a prayer for Vivian. Uh-huh. And at the time I started it, my sister was expecting her. And when I gave it to her, it was almost her first birthday. But... So it can be a fairly fast industrialized kind of craft, or it can be a very slow and intentional and even spiritual practice of praying for the people.
Yeah.
All right. You know how we talked about maybe sending quilts overseas is not always the best way. And as Aaron, our international missions expert, reminded us, you can also look around close to home.
Yeah.
Here are some ideas for what you could do with a quilt, because a lot of times starting a group or investing in a group, you got to know, what is this for?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, if you knew what it was for, you would do it, right? You don't have a, you don't have a yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here are some ideas. And I've seen these done both either in or outside of the church, but all of them could be done in the church. Baby quilts for new mothers. Yeah. Get together and make a baby quilt. I am reminded of a beautiful quilt I have in our kids' keepsake box that was sent to me by my husband's home church when we were at seminary. Their Koinonia Women's Group got together. And this was, I'm pretty sure his grandma Dottie did this because she was like the craftiest woman I've ever met. Aww. Not only was it intricately pieced and quilted, like not just knotted, quilted, she had embroidered the last names of every family in the church on this quilt.
What?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. They're all there. And it's not just a, hey, I had a spare afternoon, I put this together. This was a labor of love that involved a bunch of people, but one woman extra specially, I'm sure, because all the names are in the same handwriting.
So
you did all the embroidery. And so what a wonderful gift for congregations to give to new babies in the church, maybe even as a to be presented at baptism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My grandma McMillan, devout Christian woman, not Lutheran, didn't do this as part of a group, but I'm going to give you her idea for free. In the last couple of years of her life, she set a goal of making a twin size, colorful, These were all colors. She loved colors. Oh my goodness. Everything. And red. Red was her favorite mm-hmm. color. She set a goal of making a twin size quilt for every child in the congregation with Whoa. Their initial set Whoa. Into it in applique.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
And so her quilts are all over yeah. their entire community.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They weren't fancy. I don't think she even used batting in uh-huh. the middle. She uh-huh. was just clearing through her drawers and drawers of scrap fabric, finding mm-hmm. beautiful little pieces. And she even pioneered this way of like making them quilting and piecing as she went. It was, she explained it to me once and I was like, wow, that's complicated. But I have one of these quilts because I asked her for a wedding quilt and I was thinking, oh, she'll do a double wedding ring or something fancy like that. No, I got a scaled up version of the kids quilt.
Yeah.
With our initials on it. K on one side, R on the other, and a B down at the foot in the middle.
I love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But I know how loved every recipient of those quilts mm-hmm. felt because mm-hmm. they were personalized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everyone got one.
Uh-huh.
So that's an idea.
What a legacy.
Obviously, I got a wedding quilt. I got a couple of wedding quilts, actually. Mm-hmm. But to have a church family present a quilt to a newly married couple, mm-hmm. what yeah. a wonderful act of love yeah. that is. Because you're, what is, the marriage bed be held in honor by all?
Mm-hmm.
It's what I tell my husband when I make mm-hmm. my bed every day. I'm like, but Hebrews says. Get out of the bed so I can make it because I got to honor the marriage bed. But so to put your quilting energies as a church mm-hmm. group to that purpose of honoring marriage and the young couples among you and giving them a beautiful work of art
yeah.
to honor yeah. their marriage bed is a wonderful use for this. I've never made one of these, but I have seen them and they do get used. Lap quilts for mm-hmm. the elderly who sure. have trouble regulating their body temperatures.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so to create a beautiful blanket, mm-hmm. perfectly sized for mm-hmm. a lap quilt to yeah. give to shut-ins
yeah.
Would be a mm-hmm. wonderful use of your quilting skills.
Definitely.
Keepsake quilts for college students departing mm-hmm. for school or mm-hmm. for families who are leaving the congregation to move elsewhere
mm-hmm.
to... Yeah. Say, we love you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget us.
Yeah.
And with that, don't forget Jesus.
Yeah.
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 That if you gave a college student a quilt and it ended up on their dorm room bed, what a wonderful, tangible reminder of uh-huh. your church loves you.
Yeah.
That would be.
Right.
Yeah. I actually have a quilt that I got from my freshman orientation at Concordia Ann Arbor. For some reason, a quilting group somewhere in Michigan had donated a quilt mm-hmm. to be given to the freshmen. And at the time I thought, well, this is just strange. And yet I have used it so much, not as a bed covering, as a picnic blanket.
Yep.
Oh, yep.
And I started that when I was in college. Uh-huh. And it's still, if you go to the beach with me, I'm pulling out this uh-huh. quilt. These ladies made it to last.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That quilt has been through some stuff and it is still as durable as ever. So
yeah.
thank you to the nameless quilting circle that decided to donate a quilt to a college
uh-huh.
because I have enjoyed it very much.
Love it.
And I, you know, so I think of them a lot,
mm-hmm.
but mostly when I'm at the beach. But I also recently heard a story of one of my second cousins who their church was raising money for some cause or another. And she donated a beautifully handcrafted quilt to be raffled off as a fundraiser.
Mm. Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it apparently made a good deal of money mm-hmm. that was all, you know, gratefully received by the charity in question.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually sparked interest in me, not only for this, but also because I just read in the Wikipedia entry that I referenced earlier that it says quilts were often made for other events as well, such as graduation or when individuals left their homes for other communities. One example of this is the quilts made as farewell gifts for pastors.
Hmm. Huh.
Some of these gifts were subscription quilts. For mm-hmm. a subscription quilt, community members would pay to have their names embroidered on the quilt top, and the proceeds would be given to the departing pastor. And sometimes the quilts were auctioned off to raise additional money, and the quilt might be donated back to the pastor by the by whoever won the auction.
Wow.
I know.
That is interesting. That's, huh.
I had never heard of this, but I really love it.
Uh-huh.
And I know oftentimes people in the Facebook lounge are asking what would be a good gift for a farewell gift for a pastor, a retirement gift, or a anniversary gift.
Yeah.
And no one ever says quilts. Maybe they do. Maybe it's just like 50 comments down and I miss it. But this is a great idea. And I love this idea of auctioning it off, giving the proceeds, you know, to the pastor, but then also giving him the quilt.
Right. Right.
What a wonderful tribute. So there are lots and lots of ways to use your quilting interest, your quilting community's gifts to bless your neighbors. Can you guys think of any that I've missed? What would you use a quilt for or give a quilt for?
Let's see. Yeah, I feel like you have covered a bunch of the big ones, but you could do, like, you could add it to a way that, you know, you could give it to somebody who is grieving. You know, if you have a quilt ministry and you are making these, you know, beautiful quilts out of soft, good fabric, giving one who is grieving something in memory of the one that they have lost. Mm-hmm. It's a snuggly thing that they can hold and that they can, comfort. You know, exactly. Wrap around themselves in comfort. So I feel like that would be another potential way to serve. But I really like some of the ideas. In many of them, it's sort of a we quilt so that we have them ready. Because as you pointed out with like the quilt that you would give to your new niece, it's you can't do it quickly.
No.
So it's more of we do this so that when we have the need, we are ready and we can present it, you know, at the baptism. So,
but having, I think, local neighbors in mind really allows you the luxury of slowing down and not be tempted to mass produce them.
Sure.
To actually make everyone a beauty, a beautiful, beautiful artifact.
Yeah.
And a piece of art. And that, when you think of the neighbor that you might be giving this to, you know, the young bride who announces her engagement and she's getting married next June, you know, that you have the opportunity to really let your creativity and your craftsmanship come out.
Yeah.
That I think if I was making a quilt to be sent overseas where its purpose was to be a blanket on the ground, then I would focus on mass production and durability. But I think when you're doing it in your local community, then you have the freedom to really craft them in a different way.
Yeah.
Not that the folks in Africa don't appreciate beautiful things, but their needs are different.
Right.
And then, of course, when catastrophe strikes, when people have a house fire and lose everything or flood, to have something that isn't just, okay, you lost everything. I could give you a $15 blanket from Walmart.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I could give you this masterwork that we all poured our love and our effort into.
Right.
It's a different kind of gift.
It is. Yeah.
So it is. Someday when I have the time, I aspire to this kind of ministry. When we all do, isn't it great to know that Lutheran Women in Mission, our dear LWML, even has a Blessing of the Quilts responsive litany available to use to bless quilts as part of the worship service.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
That has shown up several times, I think, in the Facebook group pictures from that.
Yeah, I've seen these. I've actually been at a church when they were having a Blessing of the Quilts and they would have one quilt laid out on across the end of each aisle side pew.
Yep.
And so that everyone could admire them. Yeah. But then also they're blessed and dedicated with a litany that references women like Dorcas. And it's just a beautiful little one sheet prayer thanking God for gifts and the opportunity to provide something that is a comfort. I smiled at this part. It says, part of the prayer says, Lord, source of all comfort, we express our gratitude for the caring women who gather in members' homes and in church basements and fellowship halls to quilt, tie, and bind the comforters.
Aww.
That is, yeah, that, I love it. That's
so. It's a little
double meaning there to
yes, indeed.
Tie and bind the comforters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So that's all I have, but I just want to say, ladies out there who are faithfully participating in what Aaron rightly called a quilting ministry,
mm-hmm.
where you are sharing your gifts to encourage one another, but also to create an object of that is imbued with comfort and beauty. Mm-hmm. To share with your neighbors. God bless you. Mm-hmm. Keep it up and keep doing it long enough so that I can grow up and join a quilting group too.
Yes.
That would be fun.
That would.
Yeah. I feel like we've all collectively learned the importance of being together too. So part mm-hmm. of me hopes that there's a resurgence of these things, especially mm-hmm. as, what is it, Gen Z grows up as well. I think they're the ones that are really embracing all of the grandma hobbies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at least that's what my social tells me.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I've heard that uh-huh. granny core is a thing and I'm so yeah. here for it. Keep it up, ladies.
Yeah. So I don't know if the millennials will catch on so much, but I have faith that Gen Z will bring the mm-hmm. quilting circles back. mm-hmm. Ladies, we want to know your stories about quilting. I know there's women that quilt in the group. We've mm-hmm. seen the posts.
Yeah.
Y'all are here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We want to know your stories.
We want to see your pictures.
We want to see, yeah.
yes.
Please uh-huh. share your pictures. I want to see all the beautiful quilts because they are works of art. I love them. Share your pictures with us. Tell us your stories in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, and also on Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.